Something shifts beneath the surface of your carefully constructed life. Subtle at first, then impossible to ignore. The marriage that once felt like destiny now feels like a routine. The career you climbed toward no longer excites you. You wake up wondering, is this all there is? This isn't failure or weakness. It's the soul's rebellion against a life that's become too small, too false, too provisional. The middle passage arrives, knives a breakdown, but as a breakthrough, demanding your attention. A psychological earthquake that cracks open the persona you've spent decades building. What feels like falling apart is actually the beginning of coming together. Before we could speak, we were learning to survive. A child with inconsistent care develops hypervigilance. One praised only for achievement ties worth to productivity. These adaptive strategies, formed before age 5, become our false self, a persona designed to win approval and avoid rejection. Family patterns echo across generations. Therapists create emotional family trees, revealing addiction, divorce, or emotional distance, repeating with eerie precision. A stoic family produces generations unable to name feelings. An anxious one passes down overprotection like an heirloom. These inherited lenses shape how we love, work, and parent, filters installed before we knew filters existed. By midlife, this provisional personality suffocates the authentic self beneath. The tension becomes unbearable, who you've become versus who you actually are. This collision between adapted self and genuine self is the middle passage, not a crisis to solve, but a transformation to undergo. Warning signs appear long before conscious recognition. Persistent depression, escalating drinking, affairs promising escape, job changes providing temporary relief. These aren't character flaws. They're desperate attempts to outrun underground pressures signaling transformation. Like tectonic plates grinding beneath the surface, the acquired personality grates against the deeper self, demanding expression. The middle passage often arrives through catastrophe, life-threatening illness, relationship collapse, career failure. These aren't punishments, but invitations, radical stunnings into consciousness, forcing confrontation with what we've avoided. One friend, after multiple failed businesses and divorce, finally realized, "My life will never be the whole, only the parts." This painful acceptance opens the essential question, what work needs doing with the life I actually have? Modern culture has abandoned the mythic roadmaps that once guided these transitions. Ancient societies provided initiation rites and communal support. Without these, we wander through midlife believing our crisis is personal failure rather than natural development. The middle passage requires metaphorical death before rebirth, death of outdated self-concepts, impossible dreams, juvenile expectations. This death happens in frightening isolation, made worse by a culture that pathologizes necessary transformation. Marriage carries our heaviest projections. We unconsciously demand, make my life meaningful, complete me, heal my soul. We've transferred soul needs once directed toward religion onto romantic love, creating impossible expectations. Daily intimacy inevitably reveals the beloved as merely mortal, morning breath and mundane disagreements dismantling our constructed perfection. Many marriages collapse around the 15-year mark, not because love died, but because projections dissolved. One partner projected stability, only to face their spouse's emerging desire for adventure. The painful realization, no one person can fulfill all our needs. Parenthood receives similar projections. We believe we'll avoid our parents' mistakes, yet inevitably project our unlived lives onto children. A father who abandoned music pushes piano lessons. A mother who never pursued medicine subtly pressures her daughter toward medical school. When adolescents resist, asserting their own paths, midlife disappointment follows. Career also invites powerful projections of identity and transcendence. The prestigious title once promised fulfillment. But when projections dissolve and we can no longer ignore our dissatisfaction, we've entered the middle passage, a journey from unconscious dependency to conscious relationship with ourselves and others. Youth assumes the body will always obey and renew itself. Midlife shatters this illusion. We become sick with desire and fastened to a dying animal. Time shifts from playground to prison. You recognize not only mortality, but the painful truth that you'll never accomplish all you long for. This sense of limit ends first adulthood. Childhood's magical thinking and young adult's heroism prove inadequate. Your expansionist ego can no longer deflect insecurities through grandiosity. Another blow: perfect relationships don't exist. The intimate other you hoped would meet all needs is simply an ordinary person with their own needs and projections. This realization often ends midlife marriages. The fragile bond cannot bear childhood's impossible hopes. Midlife's bitterness directly correlates to energy invested in phantasmal wishes. Only by accepting this deflation and claiming responsibility for your own meaning can second adulthood begin. Midlife symptoms often signal healing. A widow in her 60s dreamed of crossing a bridge with a man who praised solitude, revealing her shift from external to inner authority and the emergence of authentic identity. Symptoms demand dialogue, not medication. One woman experienced her middle passage as fragmentation, but found healing through engagement. I talk to this part of me, and then I listen, and I talk to that part, and I listen, and I try to learn what my psyche wants of me. This conversation between ego and deeper self heals historical splits. The shadow contains everything repressed, not just anger and sexuality, but also joy, spontaneity, and creativity. When acknowledged, this energy drives authentic change. The shadow's emergence represents the self's effort to restore balance. Integration requires living responsibly in society while being honest with ourselves. Through the persona's deflation, we discover we've lived provisionally. Integrating inner truths brings new life and restored purpose. The middle passage resembles awakening alone on a pitching ship with no land in sight. You can retreat into sleep, abandon ship, or take the wheel. Only by accepting responsibility can we escape first adulthood's neurotic patterns and move toward integrity. True healing requires solitude, that psychic state where you're wholly present to yourself. We fear what might be whispered during quiet moments, so we drug ourselves with distraction. To achieve necessary solitude, ask daily, how am I avoiding myself out of fear? Many cling to terrible relationships or constricting professions rather than face loneliness. Confronting this fear requires courage, but can be supported through personal rituals, daily periods of quiet where you listen to silence. Those who navigate the middle passage successfully learn to hear the inner voice amid outer cacophony. We separate who we are from internalized expectations. Our relationships become less dependent as we ask more of ourselves and less of others. Though anxiety accompanies this transformation, an awesome freedom emerges, a vital connection with ourselves that balances outer losses with inner richness. Life is a luminous pause between two great mysteries. The middle passage reveals that our journey has no final destination. The journey itself is the purpose. The crisis we experience isn't the collapse of our essential selves, but of our assumptions. What emerges is something more honest, more whole, more truly alive. The question isn't whether you'll face this passage, but whether you'll meet it with courage, whether you'll risk the death of who you thought you were to become who you actually are.